This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
In the era that we are, it's very difficult to have so many guys that play in the World Series back on one team. And I don't want to make a big story out of it, obviously. I hate talking about next year, but we know where we're at. And we know that there's a lot of guys here that, you know, because of their time, whatever, I don't know. Hopefully they're back. Some of them won't be. So it's a pretty close group. And yesterday, that's why that was the message, you know. We got a chance to do something special, very special, and we're ready to go.
Okay, so here we go, Red Sox fans. That's Alex Cora within the last day or so. I think that was actually yesterday out in Seattle. Murray, that's now called T-Mobile Stadium. Is that what that is?
Not
Safeco Field anymore, right?
It's a surprise to me, too.
So T-Mobile Stadium is where the Red Sox will open tonight, but Alex Cora talking about the stakes for the Red Sox in 2019. What is at stake for the Red Sox in 2019 after winning 108 games a year ago in the regular season, 11 more in the playoffs? They went 11-3. Talk about a wire-to-wire brilliant season. 108 wins. They then go 11-3 in the playoffs. They lose no more than one game in each round to what were the three best remaining teams in baseball. Incredible. They blew right through the Yankees 3-1. They blew right through the Astros 4-1. And then the Dodgers 3-1. 4-1, rather, in the World Series. 11-3 overall. And you will get to live that season, by the way, one more time. Our producer, Jimmy Stewart, put together a montage earlier in the week. We played it for you then. We'll play it for you again at the end of the program tonight. And then we erase 2018 and we start talking about the 2019 Red Sox. 617-779-0985 is your number on the program. That's where we're going to begin. What is this team in the historical context? Okay, how will you remember 2018 in the historical context is related to how the Red Sox play this year. Over the last 3 years, this Red Sox team has won more games than any other team in baseball. Number one in the majors in victories over the last three seasons combined, and they have one World Series to go along with the ones won by the Cubs and the Astros. I would tell you that over the last 3 years, those have been the three most dominant teams in baseball. Boston, Chicago, Houston. Those three teams. And so the question then becomes, what could this Red Sox team be with a similar performance in 2019? Okay, think of what is at stake for them this year. And you have Alex Cora saying, essentially, we're not bringing back the same group. We are not bringing back the same team. There will be changes. Rick Porcello, in all probability, is gone. Xander Bogaerts, maybe. J.D. Martinez could opt out at the end of the year. Mookie Betts could be traded at the end of the year. The Red Sox have some hard decisions coming and some big decisions coming. And Alex Cora himself told you there's no way they can keep everybody. Okay, just not going to happen. So I said this earlier today, and I mean it. If the Red Sox were to have a season comparable this year to what they had last year, you're looking at one of the great teams of the modern era. I'm not going to call them a dynasty because I don't know if you build a dynasty in 2 years. But there aren't many teams that have repeated as World Series champions in the modern era. And to me, that's divisional play, DH era. I cut it off in 1970. So call it the last 50 years. If the Red Sox were to win, let's just say hypothetically, they get to 100 wins again, and I'm not holding my breath. I think that's a lot to ask. But if they were to get there in what is a top-heavy American League or top-heavy major leagues, if they were to get there, they would be right there with the Cincinnati Reds, the big red machine of 1975 and 76 that won 100-plus games 2 years in a row in consecutive World Series, and the Yankees of 1977-78 that won two consecutive World Series in 100-plus games. that, let alone the Yankee dynasty of the late 90s, which I think is better than this team. They won 4 out of 5.
And those early 90s Blue Jays teams.
Absolutely, that one's there too. But you're really talking about 4 or 5 teams that have distinguished themselves in a 50-year period by their ability to win consistently at an absurdly high level over 2 years. So that is what is at stake for the Red Sox in 2019. And we all know the holes on this team, too, and what the issues are going into tonight's season opener at Seattle. So let me just touch on those quickly. We'll get into more detail on them later on. But there are a lot of questions with this team still, some of which begin with the manager himself. I love Alex Cora. You love Alex Cora. We love the way he communicates. We love the fact that he manages aggressively and isn't afraid to lose. We love all of that. But at the same time, I will tell you that that mentality can blow up in your face, okay? And this year, Cora doesn't have much of a bullpen, at least at the start of the year. So the bullpen you know about. But Alex Cora hasn't really faced a ton of adversity as manager of the Red Sox. They started out 17-2 last year after a good spring and pretty much went wire to wire. Nobody ever bitched about playing time. Nobody ever bitched about how they were being used in the bullpen, at least not outwardly, because if you're the kind of guy, and baseball has them, if you're the kind of guy that bitches about it, about your role on a winning team, well, that's a surefire way to get your ass shipped out of town. I mean, then you're really an a-hole if you're doing that. Everybody's allowed to gripe when you lose. Even if you go on a losing streak, it can happen. But there was never any prolonged stretch last year where it felt like the Red Sox season was getting away from them. So there was nobody backbiting the manager. There was nobody sniping at the manager. But now they don't have clear roles in the bullpen. That's one to watch. And here's another one for you, too, as it pertains to the manager. The catching situation. Sandy Leon accepted his assignment to AAA. He's in the minors. So they can always bring him back if they need him. But to start the year, Blake Swihart is the backup to Christian Vasquez. If the Red Sox lose games because of Blake Swihart's inability to call a game or to handle pitchers or to play defense behind the plate, because he's still developing, incredibly, but he still is. If that happens, pitchers will grumble. The manager might even grumble because I think, based on my sort of history, I think managers like veteran proven catchers that are stable behind the plate, they'll give up the offense. If I had to guess, Swihart staying here is Dave Dombrowski's decision and not Cora's. Okay, that would be my guess. So keep an eye on that. Watch Swihart behind the plate. Watch the bullpen guys and how they do in this, what feels like it's going to be a bullpen by committee approach. Because for the first time, Alex Cora may have some level of discontent in his clubhouse this year, and that could be something he has to deal with. Assuming things don't go as swimmingly as they went a year ago, and we all know that that was a pretty unique season. So, 617-779-0985. We gave you the lineup last night. We'll do it again if you want it in just a little bit. In the interim, we'll take your calls right up until 7 o'clock on what is opening day 2019 for the defending world champion Red Sox. Sam is in Worcester. Sam, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I know that the third game is going to be started by Erod because, you know, Price got the sniffles and everything. But going forward, he would be probably the fifth guy in the rotation, right? Now, his big problem in the past has been A, injuries, and B, like, innings per start. Could he be a guy that maybe you want to flex towards the bullpen, like, as a closer? He did do it last year a little bit in the postseason. Is that maybe an answer?
So, Sam, I would tell you, yes, I think that there are all types of options potentially for them in that bullpen. And Eduardo Rodriguez could be one of them. But in the same breath, hell, Nathan Eovaldi could be one of them. But in the same breath, what I would tell you is that, generally speaking, a starter is more valuable than a reliever, assuming he's any good. Okay? Why would you ever ask a guy to give you 60 innings when he can give you 180 or 200? Why would you ever ask him to do that? I mean, every inning, you know, those are all about outs. It's all about outs. How many outs can you get out of a guy during the course of the year? 200 innings is 600 outs. So why would you only get 180 outs out of a guy when you could get 600? It just makes no sense. Those innings have to go to someone else who's not as good, and then that's a problem. So I think the greater likelihood is that the Red Sox trade for a reliever in the middle of the year, be it at the deadline or whenever, because the biggest factor to me right now as to why they haven't added one, the more that I think about it, is the payroll. They don't have a ton of payroll room to stay under that $246 million luxury tax threshold. And so that's the number one reason I think they haven't added a reliever. Sean's in Brockton. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
I like what you're saying when you're saying the fans should put away that old 2018 mentality after, you know, tonight's episode. But I think you and Big Jim probably need to put away those old takes, too, because you guys are carrying those same takes that you had last year about how the Yankees are better. I don't know how they're better after they lost their shortstop. They're going in basically with a rookie at shortstop and starting Greg Bird at first base. The guy is terrible. But, you know,
Sean, let me ask you this. Which team do you think has more to prove this year, the Red Sox or the Yankees?
Oh, I definitely think the Yankees, with all their hype, they definitely have a lot to prove.
Do you think that counts for anything?
I think that counts for something at times. I don't think, you know, when you have such a long season like that, I think that counts for pretty much nothing, you know.
Yeah, do you think it counted for the Red Sox last year?
But I think the talent, which team would you say is more talented?
So I think the Red Sox have a more complete team. How about that? I'll tell you, the Red Sox have a more complete team. The Yankees have a better bullpen. The Yankees have more power. One of the real deficiencies to me that the Yankees have that they didn't address was an absence of athleticism in that lineup. Gregorius, the shortstop, is going to come back and play, by the way. It's not like he's out for the whole year. He should be back in the middle of the season, if I remember right. And I haven't seen any updated medical reports on him. All I'm telling you is that, you know what the difference was last year between the Red Sox and the Yankees? The Red Sox were a team on a mission. The talent isn't that different. The Red Sox had better starting pitching. But David Price wet his pants against the Yankees in the playoffs. The talent discrepancy between the two teams was not that great. In fact, Alex Cora himself made a comment during the World Series last year, if you remember. Sometimes you just win on will. And I would tell you that the Red Sox team, oh, you want to talk about will, they had will. What will did they have last year?
Yeah, and that might have been their best attribute. And don't get it confused, caller. Maz is the one picking the Yankees to win the AL East, not me. I have the Red Sox.
So I think
their weak link is still the manager.
I think the Yankees have a red ass this year. That's what I think. I think their ass is red. They are pissed after what happened last year. They went to the LCS 2 years ago. Everybody deigned them the best team in baseball. They get to the division series and they get their asses kicked. So they went out and picked up a pitcher. They addressed a couple areas of weakness, but more importantly, I think they all are dialed in. And you know what? Looking at it today, Gary Sanchez went up to the plate today. I didn't recognize him. You know why, Murray?
Looked lean.
He wasn't fat. He wasn't fat. He wasn't a fat, lazy load like he was last year. And I'm not telling you the Red Sox are. Maybe this team's unique. I hope they are.
And maybe Boone learns from his mistakes. Obviously, you know, that's human nature. It's what we do. But I just can't help not forget, you know, how he treated games 3 and 4 in that ALDS last year and how he left Severino in too long. Same with Sabathia. Like, there was time throughout that season he just came off like he didn't even have his finger on the pulse of that team at all.
So that's true. But what if I told you there were times that Alex Cora made mistakes last year too, Murray, and we didn't really pay a lot of attention to him? I'll give you a great example of it. We'll do that and continue with your calls on opening day when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We got some stuff. I mean, today I saw a few guys, interesting guys. We do feel that their stuff is going to play at the big league level. We got the whole spring training to figure that out, but as far as talent, I do feel that there's a lot of good stuff there. Good fastballs, good breaking balls. And the way we attack hitters, we're going to mold these guys and maximize their ability. So it should be a fun spring training as far as that, obviously.
Alex Cora talking about the bullpen at the start of camp. We're going to mold these guys. I'm such a jerk when it comes to this. I really am. How are you going to mold Colton Brewer? Like, I heard this crap about Carson Smith. the last couple of years, Tyler Thornburg the last couple of years. None of these guys panned out. You know who are the reliable guys in the Red Sox bullpen? The guys who are always reliable. Kimbrel was during the regular season anyway. Barnes, we knew, was a big league pitcher, seventh inning guy maybe. Brazier came out of nowhere. That was a good story. And Brazier, I like Brazier. To me, he's the best candidate to be the closer. But there was a lot on Alex Cora again, as it was last year going into the postseason, to navigate his way through there, through the wheel of gutless bums. And Jimmy Stewart, our producer, maybe we can actually remind people what the wheel of gutless bums is like. So Jim Murray, as you know, put together last year the spinning wheel of gutless bums that seemed to produce a goat on a nightly basis. And the Red Sox haven't even played a game yet, but we have already have ready to go the 2019 version. Jimmy, hit it.
Matt Barr.
You again.
Colton Brewer.
Cole.
Ryan Brazier.
Brazzy.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019. An all-new wheel of gutless bums.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game. Now, let's spin the wheel.
Barnes.
Brazier.
Thornburg.
Johnson.
Brazier.
Barnes.
Embry.
Brazier.
Thornburg.
Velasquez.
Embry.
Johnson.
And today's gutless bum is...
TBA, fill in the blank. We'll know who it is later on. It's one of the things to watch with this Red Sox team early in the year. Just watch how Cora handles that bullpen. Who pitches when, and is it in fact closer by committee, which I think is destined to fail. I don't believe in the closer by committee. I think it's a disaster waiting to happen.
And there's room there for more names too, like Bobby Pointer and was it Darwinzon Hernandez and others. You know.
Oh no, we always leave room for expansion, Murray. Not that I need to tell you. You're more the artist than I am. So 617-779-0985. Lot of pressure on Cora to make those right decisions and to figure it out. And he didn't always get it right last year either, which we'll explain in more detail here in just a second. But let's take a couple of calls. David is in Jacksonville. David, what do you got, pal?
Hey, man. You know, I'm driving to go pick up my kid, and I'm telling you what, man, you drive me nuts. It's the first game of the year.
Yeah, it's my job.
You're just so negative, man.
It's I'm really not.
Game of the year. Whatever. So, great call out with Swihart. I think for at least the first 2 months, that's going to be the big call out, see if this kid's actually going to adjust. I think you're wrong about Devers. I think the big question with him is if he's actually going to stay healthy. The kid from the eye test, he's got the ability to play third in that, hit third in that lineup. I think he's just a little too fat. And just get used to it. Cora, I mean, he's never going to change how he does the bullpen. This guy's a statistics junkie. He's a matchup junkie. And the last thing I will say, David Price, I get it. I don't like him as much as the next guy. But what did Aaron Judge do in the playoffs last year to change his mind? I'll stop and listen.
Oh, listen, Judge had a horrible postseason. He also had a bad wrist, if you remember, because he broke his hand. The year before, if I remember, in the playoffs, he had some big hits. But whatever, you're right at the end of the day. And you covered a lot of ground there in your points. The bullpen thing to me on Cora is, I like Swihart too, by the way. I'm glad they kept Swihart. Cora's wrong if he wants to keep Sandy Leone over Swihart. They won 109 games last year, 108 games plus 11 in the playoffs. They have a long season in front of them. Now is the time to find out about Blake Swihart. Now's the time. You can't do it later in the year. You might as well do it now. So I want to see how it goes with Swihart because to me there's still a chance that I've liked Swihart since the day they brought him up to the big leagues for the first time. I think the kid can play. A lot of people disagree with me, like, I think, Michael in Lakeville. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Maz. Glad you guys are back. I love the show. So.
Appreciate that.
Actually, I was kind of piggyback on the Swihart thing. I was wondering if maybe they left him up to see if he can, you know, like you said, get adapted and then maybe use him as trade bait down the road.
So, Michael, look, anything is a possibility. I thought they were going to trade him last year, and they didn't. And they kept him there throughout the year. I thought for sure he was gone and that he would not be part of the team on August 1. I think it has now reached the point where, and if you remember what happened after the All-Star break last year, after the trade deadline, because of an injury to Vasquez, Swihart had to catch more. And you know what happened when he got back there? He was actually pretty good. I mean, he was much better at blocking balls in the dirt. He threw very well. It felt like all of a sudden he was starting to get it. So I think they saw that and said, you know what? We're going to give this kid more time. We're going to see what it looks like. And To me, now's the time to do it. It's not unusual, by the way, for a catcher to develop late. Swihart's 26. Not unusual if it happened with him at this age. Now, that's basically when it happened for Jason Varitek. Now, the difference was that Varitek caught consistently through the minor leagues, caught in college. This guy was a little bit different. He doesn't have the body that Varitek has. So there are a lot of differences there. But it can happen at a later age with catchers. Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got?
Tony, thanks for taking the call. Again, love the show. This may, as they'd say, be a follow-up question based on ignorance. Is there any benefit to sending Leone down and keeping Swihart up with regard to trade value? And on that, I'll take the answer off there and appreciate you taking the call. Have a nice night.
Yeah, so Chris, I would tell you there's no real benefit to that. None. I mean, Swihart was out of options, so they would have lost him had they put him on waivers because someone would have grabbed him. There was a chance they were going to lose Leone too, though, albeit less of a chance. So, in terms of trading them, there's no real benefit. Mike in Stanford wants to touch on Chris Sale. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how are we doing?
Good.
One of the main goals with Chris Sale, so we don't have another debacle of August and September like we had last year, 17 innings combined pitch, is managing his innings throughout the year. Now, as you guys have been saying, we have no defined closer. We're mixing and matching in the bullpen. I wanted to get your take as it's going to limit Alex Cora's ability to maybe take Sale out of a four-run game when he's at 90 pitches in the sixth inning when you don't have a lockdown 7-8-9 guy. I just wanted to get your guys' take on that, how we're going to manage Sale's innings with the bullpen that is in disarray right now.
Yeah, so Mike,
your answer up the air.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good question. I think that they were trying to do that with Sale last year anyway, and that there were games where he was able to go a little bit deeper on lower pitch counts. Like, I think overall Sale did a pretty good job of that last year, and he still got hurt. So this is the concern with Sale. And we'll have plenty of time through the year to touch on all the details of these specific guys as the year goes on. We talked about Sale earlier in the week in the contract. But, you know, to me, this is the concern always with Sale. How much more can they baby him? How much more can they possibly put him in bubble wrap and try to protect him? They did that last year, and he still didn't make it through the year. So I don't know what they're going to do differently now. This spring didn't feel terribly different than last. They told us Sale was healthy. We'll get to see him tonight. And you can make your own judgments here out of the gate. But if there were any sort of issue, I don't think he'd be on the mound. The question, though, becomes, how do you keep him healthy in August and September when he's just not built to last? Okay, he's just not. Maybe they shut him down in the middle of the year for a little while and do what they did with Pedro. Stick him on the DL and, you know, give him a three-week break in the middle of the year with the All-Star break sandwiched in there, and that maybe he's better for it down the stretch. The last year, the thing that could have screwed that, well, he got hurt. So it's not like you can compare him coming out of the break with a prolonged rest. He was coming off an injury he never got right. Jim Murray's got your headlines here. We'll get you caught up in everything when we come back. We will touch base on a couple of other things, introduce a new feature to the program, and we'll check in with Dan Roach of WBZ-TV, who's out in Seattle. We'll get his feeling on the team here going into opening night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox are going to get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
See, everyone thinks I'm negative. I got that one right last year. I like the Pierce pick up at the time of the trade. He ends up being the MVP of the World Series, 22-1 odds. I made a few bucks on that one. The Fantasy Pick of the Night brought to you by DraftKings. You can play free fantasy baseball this season with promo code BOSTON. When you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So there's only one night. This is not going to be exclusively a Red Sox thing, by the way. I do play on DraftKings fantasy baseball. I like to find some of those, dare I say, dark horse picks. You know, lower salaried guys that might be good matchups that could score for you. Tonight, there's only one game. That's the Red Sox and Mariners. And there's limited history on both sides. I'd stay away from the starting pitchers tonight if you're playing fantasy. And I would go with either Jackie Bradley, believe it or not, or Mitch Moreland, or both on your rosters if that's the kind of thing that interests you. Now, we're going to go out to Seattle, T-Mobile Stadium. Dan Roach of WBZ-TV actually joins us. I guarantee you, Roachy, there is no happier man on the planet than you.
You know, it's pretty funny, Tony, and happy opening day to you and all of your listeners. We were in the dugout with Alex Cora a couple of hours ago, and you know, I asked Cora, I said, you know, what was it like for you, you know, to wake up this morning and have another opening day? And he kind of looked at me and he went, kind of looked at me again, and went, And then Sean McAdam, our buddy from the Boston Sports Journal, said, yeah, there's no question Dan was a lot more excited than you were, Alex. And Cora started laughing. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's always a great day.
Yeah, Roachy, I'm assuming you didn't sleep last night. Like, for Roachy, the night before opening day is like the night before Christmas for an 8-year-old.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, you told the Steve Pierce 22-1 odds. Quick story from spring training. One of the first days of hitting, Pierce was in the batter's box and hitting, and the fans, you know, the fans gather around the cage and outside, you know, where they watched it from. One of the fans yelled, "Hey, Steve, thanks for lunch." And he says, "I owe you lunch. I owe you a couple lunches." And Pierce was looking at him like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You were 22-1 to win the MVP." And yeah. Pierce just kind of turned and started laughing and started smiling. So,
yeah, so that guy owes me lunch. Roachy is who he owes lunch to. But look,
yeah,
exactly. I want to get to the baseball. Obviously, we don't have you here for a long time. So the big question tonight is, if the Red Sox have the lead, who comes out of the bullpen and when? I'm curious as to what Alex Cora is indicating out there as to how he's going to use his relievers. To me, it's always one of the things to watch in the early part of the year is how the bullpen is used. How's he going to do it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I asked him, do you grow tiresome of all this, what about the bullpen, what about the bullpen talk? And he said, you know, no. He goes, I've been on the other side. I did TV. I did baseball tonight. And he said, I understand it's a question. He said, but we have a plan. And, you know, whether it be a situational out that they need in the seventh or eighth inning, whether they bring in Brazier in that situation or Barnes and then turn it over to Workman or Hembry or along those lines, I think that's how it's going to work initially until they find what they like. And I think, you know, it's no secret that it's between Barnes and Brazier right now. I think it may depend on how they pitch early on in the season, who's better, who's hotter. And then again, they're going to go situation to situation. And they're supremely confident, you know, and I'm not just talking Cora. I'm talking Dana Lavangie to Brian Bannister, who's the spin master and has all the technology, to Craig Bjornsson, their bullpen coach. They're extremely confident that they can execute the right plan on every single night and get this done. And that's why Cora is saying, I feel real good about repeating here and giving it our best shot to repeat. So they feel fine about the bullpen.
So, Roachy, they don't want to use the word, but what you're talking about is closer by committee.
Yes, and I don't like that word either.
Why not?
And I think, because I don't think it's ever worked. You know?
Well, exactly. Go ahead.
I know, right. I know baseball's trending that way, though, Tony. As you might hear fireworks going off here. But baseball's trending that way. There's about 10 teams that don't necessarily have a closer to start out. I've never been one of those believers. You know, I go back to Theo Epstein and Chad Fox on opening day and the whole bullpen by committee. I just look at it like it's hard to execute, especially in Boston, in a big market. You have to have a guy that takes the ball to close out a game. And I think eventually it will end up that way.
Okay, so you don't believe in it either?
No, I really don't. And I love everything that Cora has done, but I just think, you know, unless he convinces me otherwise, it worked because you had all those starters in the postseason. I don't necessarily see it work on a nightly basis because you need everybody clicking in order to execute a closer by committee.
How about that, Roachy? A negative thought from you. Imagine that.
No, it's not necessarily negative.
Sure it is.
It's, Okay. Sorry.
No, if I say it, it's negative. If you say it, it's realistic. That's how it works. We only have another minute here, Dan. So I want to ask you about two things quickly. Rafael Devers hitting third. Left-handed pitcher on the mound. They clearly want him to have that spot.
Yes, although Cora said it with the caveat that if Steve Pierce was healthy, he'd be in that third spot against the left-hander. But you're going to see Devers there quite a bit, I think, and you may eventually see Jackie Bradley Jr. to kind of even it out between Betts and J.D. Martinez. But I think that they're counting on Devers having a big year and at least trying to give him that initial confidence to say, go out and get it. And, you know, I was watching him hit in the cage yesterday, and Cora was right there with him talking about situations, talking about what he was doing. So they're very hands-on with a kid like that, and they feel like he can explode. So, again, something like that to watch along with Jackie Bradley Jr., those kind of guys, can they have an even better season and break out from what they were able to do in the postseason, carry it into this season?
Okay, 20 seconds, Rochie. Chris Sale, how many innings or pitches tonight?
I think he goes six. You know, he's generally about six or seven in these types of starts. I think he goes six. If he's got low on the pitch count, I think he gets into the seventh inning, and then they'll hand that over to the bullpen, and we'll see. But I think that's kind of where Sale normally is in these types of games.
I mean, 85 pitches-ish, right? It won't be much more than that?
No, I don't think so. I'd be surprised if it was more than that.
All right, Rochie, always good talking to you, pal. Fly safe.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Tony. Take care. Enjoy the season.
You too. All right, Dan Roche, WBZ TV. Obviously, we check in with Rochie all the time. He's a good counterbalance. A good equalizer on this program, because I admit it. I can look at things from a half-empty point of view. Although, as people have said, you're a glasses half-empty kind of guy. My answer is there's nothing in the glass. We'll continue with some Red Sox thoughts when we come back. And I also want to tease for you, we will be playing Jimmy Stewart, our producer's montage from the 2018 season, rather, at the end of the program tonight. So you can catch that in the next segment, too.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball, deep center. Mullins back, still back, turning, looking, see ya! A three-run home run for Voit. Yankees on the board. They're up 3-0.
Haven't even played a game yet. Red Sox are already chasing the Yankees. Half game behind. New York wins today against the Baltimore Orioles. Luke Voit, three-run home run in the first inning. Yankees go on to win. They had trouble with the Orioles last year. Calm down. It was a joke. It was a joke. Don't get your panties in a bunch already, for crying out loud.
A little bit of truth in every joke, though, Mass.
Big Y matchup of the game brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Murray, I'm sorry. Did you say something? So look, I told you earlier, Jackie Bradley and Mitch Moreland, good looks for the Red Sox tonight against Marco Gonzalez, who has very limited history against the Red Sox. They're 7-for-22 against them all time, this collection of Red Sox players. On the other side, the only guy you really need to worry about in this lineup, at least based on Chris Sale's history, Edwin Encarnacion, formerly of the Indians, he's now with the Mariners. He got traded there. 6-for-19 with two homers in his career against Chris Sale. For some reason, I want to say that they came last year. But anyway, whatever, and who knows, maybe Sale wasn't right. Sale's tough on everybody, but Encarnacion is a guy to keep an eye on. Quickly, let's take another call here. Dale's in Houston. Dale, what do you got?
Got goodbye.
Sorry to say that.
Dale, I'm sorry to put you on hold. I'll try you again. You were breaking up. It was a horrible connection. Try one more time. Go.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I'm looking at a glass and it's full.
Okay, but yeah, anyways, go ahead. I get it. Go ahead. What's
anyways,
up?
Anyways, you know, you guys talk about Sale a lot, and I hear you guys saying how he doesn't last a lot, but I never hear anybody talk about his weight. That cat has got to be the skinniest player I have ever seen. Don't you think if they bulk them up a little bit, he might last longer?
So, Dale, they've tried. Sale has tried. He's tried to gain weight. He's just one of these guys that's, you know, chronically thin. I mean, it's just the way his body works. He's not the kind of guy that can put weight on. And so it is something they have to deal with. And I think he's just going to have to learn how to manage his body in a better way. And he might be one of these guys that just can't throw more than 180 innings. I mean, there are a lot of guys like that. Once you get over that 180 mark, a lot of guys go south fast. Sale might be one of them, in which case what I would say is the Red Sox should do what they did with Pedro Martinez. Give him a break in the middle of the year. What the hell? You don't need him in July anyway. So give him the whole month of July off. Put him on the DL before the All-Star game. Let him sit there. Keep him on the DL for another week coming out. Give him the whole month of July off. Ramp him up in August again. I mean, they're the kind of team, they have enough talent, they should be able to do something like that. Hell, they won the World Series last year without him. So, as I've said, once this game starts tonight, I'm not giving the Red Sox credit for 2018 anymore. Okay? In my mind, that will have been done and gone forever. Because I couldn't have been more wrong through the course of the year about that team. But nonetheless, you as a fan, you should enjoy it. You should celebrate it. It really was, and I say this in all sincerity, a tremendously historic and successful year for the Red Sox. A special, magical, dare I say, borderline perfect season in which just about everything went right for them. Okay? Really. Our producer, Jimmy Stewart, put together a montage reliving that season. We played it for you earlier in the week. Leading into game one this year, we'll play it for you again. So enjoy it and enjoy the start of the 2019 season. We'll see you tomorrow.
There's a good baseball team, a team that has won back-to-back division titles. But at the end of the day, in this city, everybody wants to win a world championship.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball, I mean.
That ball is out of here for J.D. Martinez, and the Red Sox have taken the lead back.
It's kind of hard to pick one thing we're really weak at. For me to expect anything less than going to a World Series, I feel like I'm selling us short.
What are your hopes for the season, Mookie, for the team and for yourself?
Obviously to win the World Series.
I'm all case of carpal tunnel syndrome.
Carpal tunnel is not an uncommon injury for esports athletes, people playing video games.
For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. It seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing.
I've always played video games. I've always played it with my teammates.
I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits Hanlon on the bench well.
They're all loaded. Way back it carries, and that ball is gone! The Red Sox walk it off. The X-Man strikes.
We're announcing the acquisition of first baseman outfielder Steve Pierce.
Monster seats, it's off the light standard. First third home run of the game.
Have a night. And true to the scouting report, he hasn't walked anybody. And that's in there. Strike three, Frozen. 1-2-3 again for Nathan Eovaldi. Up the middle and through, and that's how the Red Sox have walked it off tonight. Andrew Benintendi gone. Mookie Betts has hit for the cycle. Watch this baby go. Brandon Phillips has put the Red Sox in the lead. 9-8 in the ninth inning. Is that some debut?
Changed a lot of stuff up, you know, here the first 2.5 years, and, you know, to be able to get back to the pitcher that, you know, Boston signed, you know, that's, it's about time.
The Boston Red Sox have won 100 games.
October is different.
When we show up in spring training, this is the only goal. This is it. This is what we're here to do.
Fair ball, home run, and the cycle for Brock Holt.
There's a called strike three as Eovaldi hits 100 here in the seventh inning.
The Boston Red Sox win the division series 3 out of 4 against the Yankees.
There's a new challenge, obviously. They're the world champs. To get to the World Series, you have to go through Houston, so here we are.
Bradley Jr., a grand slam!
Runs are at a premium. We never feel like enough runs is going to be enough. So, you know, that was very, very special for us.
Mookie with the jump. It looked like he was going to catch it, and he gets stopped from catching it from the hand of the fan. The fan closed his glove.
And out is the call. Wow.
Rafael Devers, a 3-run blast.
this isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives. But this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price. A strikeout for Eovaldi as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight.
Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Yeah.
Benintendi on the run. He's got it! And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series.
This is what we prepare for all year. Chance to win a championship, and that's where we're at right now. So we're all excited, ready to go.
And we celebrated 108. Then after that, we said we got to turn the page, because in the city that we play, we knew that we were going to be judged by what we do in October.
Pinch hit three-run home run, Nunez. And the Red Sox open up game one.
3-2, Hernandez strikeouts. Baseball up at 93, and there's two out. Fourth strikeout of the game for Price.
David was amazing, and then the bullpen did what they've been doing during October, and now we're up 2-0.
Dodgers leading by four. Gone! Pinch hit, three-run home run, Moreland. The game is tied. Steve Pearce. That's up the middle. The Red Sox are going to take the lead. Holt scores. Boston on top 5-4.
They're showing that they're willing to do whatever it takes for us to win a World Series. I feel that with the group we have, why not go all in?
Second time Machado has struck out. 0-2, back to Price. What a night. It's all David Price in game five. Pierce has got another. Betts has made it 3-1. Martinez goes deep. Chris Sale is on the mound. He strikes out Turner, 1-0. 3-2. Pitch, breaking ball, struck him out. The Red Sox are one out away. And the Dodgers are down to their final strike.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch.
Red Sox win the World Series.
Hold all the cards now. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.